Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode 111. My name is Ben P. I'm going to be the host in the interim until our normal host, Dr. Venkman, joins us. But in the meantime, got a couple guests here on our panel. These are people that should be pretty familiar to you if you've listened to this podcast before. Good buddy Mazer, what's going on, man?
Good.
All right. And I've also got Tiberius here with us.
Hey, man. Hey. How you guys doing?
Excellent. All right. Well, I mean, I don't know. Unless you guys have, do you guys have any jabber, any sort of banter that we could do back and forth? Anybody have anything planned that you guys really are just itching to talk about that's not necessarily related to movies or anything? Mazer, I know you're like a big fan of just inserting totally random things.
Totally random things. Should I talk about the algorithm that I've been working on? Yes, it produced an amazing number. I'm carving it in stone right now.
Okay.
I'm hoping to reveal it on the site at some point.
Well, if
fingers crossed.
If you're carving it in stone, that sounds like something that should be unveiled on more of like a world stage. Like you just pull it off and like you can see it from space or something.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing a streaming broadcast. So.
Excellent.
You guys are invited to the actual event. You know.
So. Superb. Tiberius, you have anything random to throw in there, or you?
Yeah, hey, I just found out how much I owe on my taxes this year, and I'm not happy. So I'm hoping that this podcast will cheer me up like it always does.
Fantastic. All right, well, let's see what we can do in that regard. Let's go ahead and jump on to the box office numbers. We'll talk about the top five really quickly. Number one at the box office this past weekend was Hop with $21 million. Number two was Hannah at 12.3. Number three was Arthur at 12.2, coming in pretty close. Number four was Soul Surfer in its first weekend at 10.6. Surprising, considering the lack of marketing for that film. And then number five was Insidious at $9.3 million. There's your top five for this past weekend, which is the weekend of April 8th through the 10th.
I seriously thought that Soul Surfer movie was a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it, doesn't it?
That's what I seriously thought. So
kind of like,
in theaters, I was like, wow, they really bumped it up.
Yeah, it looks like Sony, I think, is the one who's actually responsible for this, or Columbia, one of the two, one of those branches. And it seems like something that would be part of like the CBS Films, you know, one of those like newly minted film companies that just is trying to get their feet wet, no pun intended.
Yeah, CBS Films, it seems wrong every time I see those titles.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
I came for a movie.
Yeah, and unfortunately with their film choices thus far as distributing and kind of financing movies, they really have not been making good decisions. I think that one movie with Harrison Ford where he yells at Brendan Fraser about how – you guys remember what I'm talking about? They turned it into like a big internet thing where he's like, I already work around the clock or something like that. You guys remember that from the trailer of that movie, or was that just totally unmemorable to you?
I remember watching the trailer. I don't remember that moment, but –
No, I don't either.
Yeah, that was another one where I was just like, okay, cool. This is going to be an awesome show. I don't know how they got, you know, Harrison Ford to be on this show.
Yeah.
Like, wait, yeah. It's a movie? But and it's CBS. That seems wrong. Are you sure?
I also want to say that Faster, the Dwayne Johnson film, was a CBS thing too. And that was, I think, my least favorite film of 2010, so they're not really doing so hot these days. But anyway, hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, good things coming for CBS Films. Maybe if you change your name, then all of Mazer's issues will be resolved. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and jump to Connect 3. This is a game we like to play here on this podcast, in which one of us, which it'll be me this time, will just list three random people from the entertainment industry, and you guys have to find the connection. So, you guys ready for this?
Yep.
All right, here we go. The first one. Christian Bale. Tom Cruise. Russell Crowe. A difficult one.
Oh. No idea.
I'll give you a hint. It is a director.
Rob Reiner?
Nope. Christian Bale, Tom Cruise, Russell Crowe. Awfully quiet over there, Mazer. You got any guesses?
Yeah, should I just start doing, like, well, I don't think there's any Ridley Scott movie that Bale's been in, unless I'm mistaken.
All right, you guys give up?
John Woo?
John Woo is also incorrect. Any last-minute Hail Marys?
Yeah, I don't have a clue.
The answer is Michael Mann. Christian Bale in Public Enemies, Tom Cruise in Collateral, and Russell Crowe in The Insider.
Wow.
A little bit of a difficult one. All right, so let's move
That's a director I should have remembered, but, like, what was the last thing he did?
It might have been Public Enemies, actually. That was back in 2009, so it's been a little while.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go to the second one. Here we go. This one may be a... I don't know. Here we go. Sam Raimi, Christopher Nolan, Danny Boyle.
And
Chris Evans?
Close. You're on the right track with an actor. This is kind of the opposite of the category right before it. So I've listed three directors. This one, the connection is an actor.
Crispin Glover?
Nope.
No, wait.
Bit more high profile than Crispin Glover.
Wow, yeah, I'm thinking.
Sam Raimi, Chris Nolan, Danny Boyle.
Man, I have no idea.
It.
The Quick and the Dead is the Sam Raimi film, if that gives any extra hint. Inception is the Chris Nolan film. And The Beach is the Danny Boyle film.
I don't think I've got it.
I don't know if I can give you guys any more than that. The answer is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, son of a bitch! Sorry, pardon my language. Oh, man, that's frustrating.
Oh, it's totally fine. All right.
I was like, there's no way it could be Leo. That's too obvious. I was like...
Yeah, that's why I said.
All right, so the third and final selection for this week's Connect 3 is a bit more ridiculous than those two. Those two, I mean, Michael Mann and Leonardo DiCaprio are pretty high profile, so this one may be... well, there's no doubt about it. It's way more ridiculous. All right, here we go. This one is a movie. I'll give you guys that hint right off the bat. Mike Myers, Jessica Alba, Justin Timberlake. This is a live action film, not an animated movie.
The Guru one?
Yes.
Where he's a guru?
Yes. Okay. What is it?
The Love Guru?
Yes, The Love Guru. I think we'll give you guys half credit each for that one.
Thank you.
Mazer with the assist.
I think I only remember that because that's like one of the few movie reviews that I wrote on the site.
Nice, okay, all right.
Oh man, I feel sorry for you. I didn't even watch that movie, it looked so bad.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. I tried to pick what I perceive to be one of the worst things along with two of the best in the industry. So there we go for Connect 3.
Good.
All right, right on. So let's go ahead and talk about some of our big reviews of the week. Who saw Arthur this weekend?
Arthur, get in the car.
No.
Bitterman, open the door.
Bitterman, close that door.
Get in the car.
Not you, Bitterman.
Who are you people?
I'm his nanny.
I'm not. I'm Bitterman.
Morning, Arthur.
Hello, Hobson.
Say goodbye to your friends now, Arthur. Make me.
Ow! Hobson!
Get on the horse.
No, it's okay.
Maybe Daddy can help?
Let me help.
Oh, but you're not qualified.
That was no trouble.
You're going to marry Susan Johnson.
Hello, Arthur.
Ah! Mm. What was that?
French kiss.
Really? Because the French always surrender. That was decidedly German.
Mother will see you now.
Arthur, to what do I owe the pleasure?
I don't want to marry Susan.
Fine. You are cut off.
Cut off from death.
The money.
I think I could live without the money.
I am a grown man, and I shall get a job to prove it.
I did.
Okay, I believe you're the only one, then. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Arthur? What did you think about that film?
Well, I went into this with almost zero expectations and came out with a smile on my face. It wasn't a great movie at all by any shape of the imagination. And in fact, the original ones are great compared to this. Dudley Moore is really believable in Arthur, and he's more of a drunk in what I expected the Arthur character to be. Mm-hmm. Not to say that, you know, Russell Brand is not drunk, but it's just Dudley Moore is a more believable drunk, even though Russell Brand's been in an addict before. So my point being, that should show you right there that overall the film was really not as enjoyable. The only key reasons I enjoyed it, three reasons. My wife enjoyed it, so I had fun automatically. But more importantly than that, I really liked Greta Gerwig and Helen Mirren. And Louis Guzman was pretty funny too, but Helen Mirren and Greta Gerwig were really the shining stars of that film. Russell Brand was great. He worked. He did himself. He was his normal self. But to me, those actresses stood out and made the film enjoyable.
Did you see Get Him to the Greek, Tiberius?
Yeah, I did.
What did you think about Russell Brand in comparison? Or is there even a comparison? Was he literally almost the same character?
Well, no. That was a much, you know, he was more vulgar in Get Him to the Greek. Definitely a different character. It's still him. It's hard to tell. You know, he works in either two type of roles, a rock type role, or I can see, you know, where he's really grungy. And I think the main thing that he did differently with this is that he shaved. And, you know, he's of a higher class type person. He's playing that, but he's believable in both worlds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it's not something that I would recommend going to see in theaters, frankly, but it's something I ended up seeing in theaters. So, you know, it wasn't as bad. And, you know, I really was thinking, oh, man, I'm not going to see this movie. This looks horrible. But there were actually some mildly humorous moments. I noticed I didn't mention Jennifer Garner. I'm not a big fan of Jennifer Garner. And this is a prime example of one where she did well in terms of playing, kind of an evil character. So she was believable in that respect. But overall, this is a definite movie to watch on DVD.
Okay.
If you decide to do that. It's not something you need to see in theaters, but I can understand why it got number two at the box office, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, right? So
I believe so. Did the story kind of throw you at all? Were there any moments that surprised you, or was it fairly predictable the entire way through?
No, it was very predictable. I mean, I pretty much knew. I mean, there's nothing that threw me for a loop at all. You mm-hmm. know what's going to happen. I mean, if you don't, then I think you're asleep in the movie because, right. I mean, you'd have to know what was going on if you're even watching the film.
Yeah.
But I really hope to see more of Greta Gerwig. I mean, you know, I really do. She is really attractive, not only, but she's also just got a great personality that really mm-hmm. shows through on screen. I can't believe I'm being this in-depth with Arthur, but, you know, the fact of the matter is it really wasn't as bad as I expected. And, you know, I still wish I would have seen Your Highness, but she wasn't having anything, you know, nowhere near interested in seeing that, unlike I was. So.
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, none of us here on this panel actually got a chance to see Your Highness, but that's probably for the best based on the reviews and stuff that I've been reading,
yeah.
kind of buzz about the movie. It's just been getting horrible, horrible reviews. So
unfortunately so.
Yeah. We probably dodged a bullet on that one.
Yep.
But I guess speaking of bullets, let's go ahead and talk about Hannah. Did you anybody else get a chance to see Hannah this weekend?
I'll do better next time.
Go
tell me again.
Adapt or die.
Think on your feet.
Even while I'm sleeping. I'm ready.
All you have to do is flip that switch. It tells Mirza Regla where we are. Only you can get close enough. She won't stop until you're dead. Or she is.
Come and find me.
Marissa.
We picked up an unencrypted signal below the Arctic Circle. We think it's Eric Heller.
Heller is a rogue asset. I propose we go in and pull him out. We need to keep this contained, gentlemen.
Papa.
Remember what I taught you, you'll be fine.
Heller was gone, but we found this kid.
I want to speak to Marissa Wiegler.
My name is Marissa Wiegler. You wanted to speak to me? It's okay.
What do you want, Marissa?
I need you. You do things my agency will not let me do. The girl is still alive.
If we're going to be friends, you're going to have to be honest. I'd like to.
I did.
Okay, excellent.
I know, you did, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah, right on. Okay, so I guess I'll start since you just you were holding
yeah,
that fort with
nice.
Arthur.
Thank you.
I was not really expecting much from this movie. I've never seen any movie directed by Joe Wright before, who's the director of Hannah. I didn't see Atonement or The Soloist or anything else that he's done, and therefore, I had really no expectations going into this movie. I just kind of saw it because I thought it was the lesser of the evils of the films that were released this past weekend. So I was very surprised with how much I liked the movie. I thought it was kind of like The Bourne Identity in that, you know, it had these kind of like spy themes and stuff like that. But it also handled like psychology and action very well. I thought it struck that balance very well in the movie, and I think Saoirse Ronan, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce her name, she's the lead, she's the one who plays Hannah, did a really fantastic job in this movie. And I think, you know, I was just talking about like the balance between psychology and the action and stuff, and I think she handles both of those aspects really well. This movie is almost more about, you know, what it's like to grow up and kind of some of these themes more than it is just like a straight ass-kicking movie. And I kind of liked that about it. I appreciated that it had a little bit of depth to it. This is the kind of movie that, you know, it makes you think just a little bit. It's not like structurally complicated or anything like Inception where you're like have to pay really close attention to even figure out what's going on. It just kind of provides some interesting ideas while it kind of highlights some pretty badass fight sequences, I think. So joining us right now is our fearless leader, Dr. Venkman. How's it going, sir?
It's going great. How
Fantastic.
Are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
We are just beginning our conversation about Hannah, and I understand that you saw this movie this weekend,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
All right,
I
well,
did.
Let's go to you. What did you think about Hannah?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was just a really fun movie. I thought it was just completely action-packed. I loved the idea of this. What was she, 15 in the movie?
Yeah, 15 or 16, something like that.
15, 16-year-old teenage badass assassin. I mean, it was pretty cool. I thought there was a, you know, there were some of the shaky camera movements was like a little too much at times,
mm-hmm.
but besides that, I have no problems with the movie. And a lot of people, though, I noticed weren't really on board with it. I got, you know, I kind of responded to somebody's Facebook post saying, yeah, it's definitely one of the most entertaining movies I've seen this year so far. And a lot of people came back and they're like, you know, are you smoking something? And I'm like, no. Like, I thought it was, what did I, did we not see the same movie? Cause I thought it was pretty freaking awesome. So,
okay.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I definitely recommend people to go see it if they haven't yet, because it's worth it.
So, yeah.
Seeing on the big screen and everything. It's a great film.
Okay. Tiberius, what did you think?
I agree. I thought it was a really enjoyable action, adventure, thriller. You know, kept you on the edge of your seat, but great characters. And, I really enjoyed some of the symbolism in the film. I know that's kind of, you know, that's something you don't necessarily think of always when you're watching or expect to see in an action film, mm-hmm. but it definitely has some from the very beginning about dealing with the deer and, you know, at the end, just the predators versus, you know, good and evil as well. And at the end, the wolf, the, you know, at the park where they're at, this is not giving anything away, but, you know, at the end, you know, walking out of the wolf's mouth on the train tracks is kind of an interesting, you know, symbolism of what was going on in that situation. So overall, I thought it was a, you know, a pretty good movie.
Yeah,
and I can understand. I can understand though why people aren't saying, you know, it's not the, you know, it's not the best movie of the year so far, because people might have gone into it expecting a little bit more action, and you know, I in fact had wished there was a little bit more action, but
I thought it was a very good balance between action and drama. So
I'm just saying why some people might have.
Yeah, I can see that. Know, okay.
But yeah, you're right. I liked it. I'm on board with you. I thought it was great. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think, Tiberius, you bring up some good points. That's something that, like, on this podcast in particular, we don't really necessarily talk about symbolism and you know, thematic elements, like, in depth very often here. But I think this movie is kind of drenched in those because, and it said this in in the trailers and the marketing campaign and stuff, it's kind of a fairy tale type of story, you know? That's the kind of vibe that they're going for with this girl that is basically raised in the forest by her, you know, CIA agent father. And the only thing that she really knows of the world is facts that are memorized from an encyclopedia. And, you know, I thought that was kind of a cool, characterization I can't really remember seeing before on screen, like a character that, you know, is built up in this way that only knows, you know, she's so isolated. She's never even heard music before, you know, like there's that scene in the very beginning where they're talking about music and she's reading about the definition and stuff. And she's like, oh, I wish I could hear it and stuff like that. And then later in the movie, when she actually does hear it, it's kind of like this religious experience for her. It doesn't even matter if it's good or bad music. It's just something that she's been longing for her entire life because she's had such kind of an isolated existence up until that point. So, And Tiberius, like you were saying, with, you know, her walking out of the mouth of the wolf and stuff, there's all these kind of Big Bad Wolf and Little Red Riding Hood and all these, like, classical themes and fairy tales and stuff. All that imagery is kind of weaved, you know, in and out through this movie, but definitely given kind of a modern spin on all of it. So, yeah, I think that's definitely a good thing to point out here. What did you guys think about Eric Bana in this movie?
He was good. He was solid. Yeah. He's always been a good actor. I don't think he's been – I've always enjoyed him. I think the one movie I really didn't enjoy him in was The Time Traveler's Wife, just because it sucked. But I mean, everything else he's been great in, you know. So
yeah, same for you, Tiberius.
Yeah, no, I haven't even watched The Time Traveler's Wife because it looked horrible.
Yeah, no.
I'm not going to waste my time now. Thank you for that confirmation. But I liked him. I've always been a fan of his since Black Hawk Down, you know, and really, you know, really, really liked him in that movie. So I really also like him in this movie. And I think if you're a fan of Eric Bana, then this is definitely a movie you should see because he's good in it. But I'll tell you, Hannah really does steal the show. Yeah. And also I have to bring up the great score. Great soundtrack by the Chemical Brothers.
Yeah.
I think this is the best soundtrack since Tron Legacy, Daft Punk's Tron Legacy soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, what's your relationship with the Chemical Brothers? Were you familiar with their music going into this movie? Because I had no idea. I'd never heard a single thing that they had done, and I was kind of blown away by the score also.
Really? You've never heard
You
of them?
Probably are unfamiliar that you've actually heard their stuff. Okay. There's a lot of stuff that you're like, wait, that's in a movie trailer, or that's in a movie, or there's a lot of people that use their music in movies. It's
a lot of trailers or even sometimes commercials, I think, you know, their music is used. They're like a go-to people for catchy stuff. But I mean, you know, and it's not the point that they're really, you know, overplayed or selling out either. They're really cool. I mean, mm-hmm. you definitely should check out more of their stuff. So yeah, I'm really familiar with them.
Nice. Yeah, I found like the kind of one of the really European looking bad guys, for lack of a better description, the guy who would like wander around whistling all the time. You guys know who I'm talking about in this?
Yeah.
I thought that was a really kind of interesting way to, you know, just put like a thematic stamp on this one character. Like he almost was kind of this you know, just like a force of nature that was just kind of constantly coming after him, and there was like nothing that was going to stop him, basically. So and you know, it reminds you of, you know, some of like there's a movie, I think it's called M. I want to say Fritz Lang directed it. I could be wrong about that, but
you're right.
Okay. And I think Peter Lorre plays like there's like a serial killer kind of child rapist weird dude that whistles the same tune over and over again. So that's like instantly what came to mind when I heard that. And then also, you know, the same type of deal, like, you know, it's very kind of a sing-song thing, and it kind of calls back to, you know, nursery rhymes and all these fairy tales, and it's kind of the same stuff that we've been talking about as far as those kind of themes. There's one moment that I want to mention, and I guess this is like a very, very brief spoiler, but I will say there's a scene, one long take, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but it was phenomenal, and it's like probably going to go down as one of my favorite scenes of 2011 on film. And this is a scene where it follows Eric Bana's character through a bus station, and he goes down into the subway chamber and just like freaking fights, I don't know, five or six guys, and it's all done in one long continuous shot. You guys remember this?
Yeah, that is
awesome.
Yeah, that was a great scene. I agree.
Absolutely fantastic. I was a huge fan of that. And that alone right there, more than anything else, I was like, okay, I'm kind of on the Joe Wright bandwagon. Because like I said, I've never seen anything else that the guy's done before. But I was like, if he can conceive and execute a shot like that, you know, that effectively, I really want to see what this guy is going to do next, you know, regardless of genre or anything like that. So that may be enough to actually get me to go back and watch some of his older films. Although, like I said, I have very little interest in them based on their plot descriptions. But
did you say that he did The Soloist?
Yes.
I just start there.
Okay.
Because I mean, you can't go wrong with Jamie Foxx, really, and Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you can. I'm just saying. The Soloist was okay, not one of my favorites. It was when you watch the, I mean, you could tell from the trailer that it was like this, they want like, we want awards for everybody in this movie that, you know, you could tell that in the trailer. When you watch the movie,
you
get the same thing. It's like everyone was trying to get awards out of this. So, but it was good. It was decent.
I'm just saying, in terms of Joe Wright.
Sure.
I've never seen Atonement. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I've never seen that, so
yeah.
I don't know. And Pride and Prejudice or something like that.
I think. Yeah, he did that one as well.
Not really interested in that. So.
Yeah. One last thing I think we should bring up was Cate Blanchett. What do you guys think about her in this film?
Oh,
her character was really interesting with the little ticks and stuff that the character that she had, like with the teeth and everything.
Mm-hmm. My God, yeah.
It got really annoying, but but I mean, that's what it was supposed to be. I mean, yeah, her character was really interesting. But she did a great job pulling it off.
Tiberius?
Yeah, no. I don't know. I think that she did really great with her facial expressions too in a lot of scenes. And you know, my favorite one was where Hannah's, you know, in the cell, and, you know, we've seen this in the trailer, so I'm not giving anything away. You know, she's in the cell, and she's about to break, and she's breaking out, in the midst of breaking out, and just the look of pleasure and surprise on her face is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm traditionally not a big fan of Cate Blanchett, which is kind of a, excuse me, it's kind of a, I don't know, not a good position to hold in the film blogging world, because everybody seems to love Cate Blanchett all the time, and I'm just not a big fan of hers. I don't really know what it is about her, but she just has never really done it for me. But I actually liked her a lot in this movie. I think this is one of the first times I've truly kind of appreciated her as a character, because I think she kind of keeps her role small, and I mean that's probably not anything to do with her and Blanchett's decision, but the writers and stuff kind of kept her in a smaller capacity, instead of, you know, the trailer kind of indicates that she's going to be on the hunt for Hannah and for her father the entire time, and that's not necessarily the case. The movie, like I was saying earlier, is kind of more about Hannah's journey than it is about Cate Blanchett's character's chase, if you get my drift. So you know, I thought she did a good job, and she had like this Southern Belle accent that I heard in the trailers, and I was like, oh man, I'm really gonna hate this, because I'm from the South, and it's really difficult for people to actually pull off like a convincing accent like that and not just sound like nails on a chalkboard. But I think she did a good job with that too, and I think she kind of underplayed that aspect of it, and I really kind of walked away like nodding and going like, okay, Cate Blanchett, I get you, I see what you did there. I like that. So, yeah, I mean, you know, if nothing else, this movie kind of gave me a little bit of appreciation for her. But yeah, like you guys were saying too, Eric Bana was great. And he, you guys both mentioned that, you know, he's kind of a versatile actor, you know, like he was, for me, he was like the best part of Troy, Wolfgang Peterson's Troy, with Brad Pitt and stuff. Yeah. That movie was not like traditionally, I don't know, well received, but I liked it because I'm like a Greek mythology nut, and I thought he was great in it. And he also was really awesome in Funny People, the Judd Apatow film.
Yeah.
So, yep. You know, he has that comedic side too, and not a lot of that came across here because that's not the kind of character that he was playing, but he's, you know, he's underrated, I think. I would like to see Eric Bana in a lot more movies, so... I think all of us enjoyed Hannah, and I think, you know, as Venkman said, definitely, if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out, because it's totally worth seeing.
Yeah, definitely. So let's move on to some of the movie geek news that has kind of come out this week. Bradley Cooper as the Crow? What?
Man, I mean...
I did not see that coming at all. I enjoyed The Crow. I'm not like a die-hard fan of it. It's not my favorite movie ever, but I enjoyed it for what it is. But it's still one of those movies, you know, it's a remake, reboot, whatever you want to call it, which just that's just getting old.
Yeah.
In Hollywood right now. So just the fact that it's being remade is just kind of ridiculous. But, you know, because Mark Wahlberg was the first one to kind of be in talks to be in The Crow as in the lead role. And then all of a sudden Bradley Cooper is, you know, having, you know, nice, you know, friendly lunches with the director, and they're both getting along and they like each other's ideas. And now it's looking like Bradley Cooper's going to be the Crow, and I just do not see him in this character at all.
I mean, I've never seen The Crow, but I kind of think that Bradley Cooper resembles a real-life crow, so I think he can pull this off. I mean, I can very easily see him in goth makeup and just being kind of a douche, because that's kind of what he is in real life, it seems like.
He's a goth douche in real life.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to imply that he was the goth douche, but he seems like kind of an ass in real life. That's what I was getting at, not the goth part. My mistake.
I think something to the Crow character is that for the actor, he's got to be someone who can be quiet, and I don't think Bradley Cooper is convincing quiet.
He's not the deadly silent type.
And he smiles way too easily.
Oh yeah.
So it would not work.
I can't. It's hard to imagine him in this role. I just from what he's done, he's mostly done comedy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And going from, you know, these comedic films to all of a sudden taking this dark, you know, deep, quiet character. I don't know. I just don't see it. I just.
Let me ask you guys a question. Did anybody see Midnight Meat Train?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I loved that movie. I thought it was great. But I still don't see him as the character of The Crow. I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to trust you on this because I've never seen The Crow, but I really liked Midnight Meat Train, surprisingly, and I thought that Bradley Cooper did a good job in it. I think that's one of
his... great movie. I love the Midnight Meat Train, but
He's also too old.
Yeah, that's a lot of people are commenting on the site, so...
Someone actually suggested Taylor Kitsch as The Crow. Which I think is actually a really good idea.
I
believe him as a rock star, and he's the right age, and he has that whole brooding thing down, so...
Yeah, he did play a rock star in The Rocker with Rainn Wilson.
Wait, are you talking about Taylor Kitsch or Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
It is like a really small role, but anyway... Okay. Yeah, I didn't even buy him as a rocker, even in that movie, even for as little screen time as he had in it. I was like, no.
Hey, what do you guys think about Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah, sure, he could work too.
I think he's not. I mean, it depends.
I mean, I think he's Hesher, that movie that was out at Sundance a couple years ago, but it seems like that's kind of, you know, the long stringy hair and the kind of crazy drugged out look. Maybe that's kind of something a little bit more.
Oh, he was awesome in Hesher. Yeah. That was a good one. How about Edward Furlong?
Edward Furlong, a.k.a. John Connor from
Terminator
2.
Wasn't he already The Crow?
That's why I was just saying, yes, he already played The Crow.
I know Venkman doesn't like him, but what about Jason Momoa?
The new Conan?
Jason Momoa should not do it, and he should go back to TV. No.
Have you watched him?
What's he been in? I don't even know.
He was in Stargate Atlantis.
Oh.
And he was in, he was on Baywatch for a long time.
It's my bread and butter, Mazer. No, I've never seen him. I've never seen...
Actually, Baywatch Hawaii, to be correct.
Okay. And now the Conan, the Barbarian.
Yes.
Yeah, so it seems like everybody is fairly kind of down on the Brad Cooper as the Crow.
Yeah, but it's probably going to happen. It seems like he and the director have a good thing going, so...
Yeah, and we should say that the director, his name is Juan Carlos, I believe it's Freinadio, the guy who directed 28 Weeks Later. So
yeah.
Just in case you guys are completely unfamiliar with the project, a little bit of an idea of maybe what to expect based on his previous work.
It sounds like it's going to be like a more hyper-frenetic version of The Crow. It seems like it's going to be really different than the first one.
Well, I think it's Norrington, Stephen Norrington, was developing it for years and dropped out of it a few months ago. And he was developing it as a, you know, contemporary, very different from what was done before. But there's really been no information on what this new director has in store for it. But I don't think he's going to do what Norrington was planning. He probably has his own vision for it, whatever that will end up being. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Well, there've been some pretty crappy sequels to the first one. So, I mean, I don't see how it's not going to be an improvement.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, all right. Well, let's move on to some news that I think we can all agree is pretty awesome. Michael Shannon being cast as General Zod in Zack Snyder's Man of Steel.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Cosign on that.
Isn't that amazing? I didn't see it coming at all, but...
I don't think he did.
Damn. Yeah, he didn't. He didn't see it either. The interview he gave where he's just like, yeah, he took me into a meeting. Zach wouldn't let me read the script. He just sat there for a half hour and told me everything about the movie. And then a couple days later, he's like, you got the job. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he seemed really kind of taken aback by that entire process. And you guys should definitely check out that video if you can find it. I think we wrote up a post on it on
Parents.
You can find it there. Just type in Superman or Man of Steel or something, and you'll find it in there. But, I mean, Michael Shannon is such a phenomenal actor. Like, this guy he's one of the guys that, like, is definitely kind of an up-and-comer. You know, I feel like he had a pretty good chance to win Best Supporting Actor at the Academy Awards a few years ago if Heath Ledger hadn't have given that phenomenal performance as a Joker, because he kind of went up against Heath Ledger there, and that was, I mean, we all knew what was going to happen there, but his work in Revolutionary Road was outstanding. He's also really great in a movie called Bug with Ashley Judd, and he's doing some good stuff on Boardwalk Empire these days too. So,
and he recently did a movie called Take Shelter, which I saw at the Sundance Film Festival, which I would love to see him get a nomination for Best Actor for that role.
Yeah,
he was incredible.
Yeah, you and I both agreed that he is probably the front runner for Best Actor at the next Oscars. He was that good
in
that movie. So,
yeah,
that's been picked up, hasn't it? If I'm not mistaken,
it has.
Yeah. It has.
It was purchased.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I think Sony Pictures Classics bought it the day before the Sundance Film Festival even started. So that one will definitely be coming to theaters. I'm sure they're going to try to push it like later in the year for kind of awards consideration and stuff like that, because it's totally worth it.
Yeah. He was awesome in that movie. So he'll be great as Zod. But, it, you know, it also confirms that General Zod is in the movie, so... You know, because there were all these reports of people saying, oh, it's not going to be General Zod. And even Snyder at one point was like, no, Zod's not in the movie.
Yeah.
Well, when you cast Zod, you know.
Yeah, Mazur, what do you think about the choice of Zod as the villain in Zack Snyder's Superman?
You know, there was some people complaining, and Peter at Slashman actually, I think, summed it up pretty well. I think there's been, like... what, five Batman films, and Joker's been in two, and Zod's only been in one, the villain in one. Yeah, so if we're complaining about Zod, he's only been in one film.
Let Zod have
and
stay.
I know, I mean, we'll get to all the, you know, interesting one like Brainiac and Darkseid and stuff, but I think getting it to people who are familiar with maybe the first two films of Superman, that's kind of where they were going with it. They'll kind of wrap up one and two in one film, and then be able to really go for the rest of the Superman universe. But I like it, and it's interesting to hear that. I think the reason they hadn't announced it is because they probably hadn't decided that it was going to be Zod until just now. I think they were probably exploring all their possibilities and trying to find the right actor for the right villain.
You think?
I think so. And I think when they came across him, they were like, you know what? Let's do Zod. Because
the script's been finished for a while, though. Unless they just take the...
Think about it. You could swap out Brainiac for Zod and a few other characters fairly easily in terms of it being a, quote, physical movie. So, okay. But I think it came down to that screen test that with the room with the crazy loud air conditioner mentioned in the video, and I think it came down to that being the deciding factor.
Something else I think we should bring up is this. Diane Lane, who is playing Martha Kent in the movie, just gave an interview recently, and she was talking, I think it was to comingsoon.net, and she said that she's talking about the script and kind of the same thing that Michael Shannon was talking about, where she had to read the script under lock and key, and, you know, she was given like 3 hours to read it or something. And basically she said that the movie covers the entire range of years from infancy on. So there's already been some scuttlebutt on the web about how it's going to be another origin story and stuff like that. And I don't necessarily know if, just because it says it covers the entire range of years, that we can go ahead and assume that it's going to be another origin story. I feel like that's a little bit of a stretch. What do you guys think? Do you think it's going to be kind of like a flashback thing, or do you really think that they're going to go? Because, I mean,
we've seen so many origin stories.
It's like a modern retelling, so it's going to be the retelling of Krypton. They could do Krypton in a very different way, because, like, you know, in the previous films, Krypton was kind of like Olympus, right? Mm. And they could have a very different feeling Krypton.
I think it's safe to say the first, you know, there'll be about between 15 and 20 minutes of setup, childhood Superman stuff. So,
okay,
I think there'll
throughout
be,
the movie. Do you think there'll be more?
I think there'll be more.
20, 30?
30, 40.
Wow.
And then I think
that's like almost half the movie right there.
Yeah, and then I think there'll be about, you know, another 30 minutes of Lois and Clark, and about another, you know, 30, 40 minutes of pure action or something like that. So.
Wow. Interesting, interesting. All right.
Well, we'll find out. Move on to some Joseph Kaczynski news. He's taken his Oblivion graphic novel script idea story, now retitled Horizons, to Universal Pictures, which looks like they're going to end up picking it up. And Tom Cruise is attached to star in the movie, which just kind of came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But what can you do? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing
is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that kind of stuck out to me about this is I think Universal, if they do end up going with this, is that it's going to kind of replace At the Mountains of Madness, Guillermo del Toro's project that we've talked about here before, and it's going to fit in kind of to that same release slot, or like right around there, you know, 2012, summer 2012 or something like that. And Tom Cruise was attached to At the Mountains of Madness too, so now he's kind of jumping, staying at Universal and kind of jumping projects. And this one, you know, we talked about this project before, I think, too. It's like a sci-fi movie, basically just about like a soldier that kind of comes to another planet and meets this traveler person. You know, it's just one of those typical kind of sci-fi things. But I think with the vision that Joseph Kaczynski showed in Tron Legacy, we're probably in for something that at least looks really special. I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
I'd much rather see At the Mountains of Madness, but that's just me.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. I like the idea that Kaczynski has for Oblivion. I know it will look great. I know he'll do a great job directing it like he did with Tron Legacy, but I'm really worried about the writing skills and who's going to write the script and all that stuff, because that plays a big
part. Tron.
Yeah, exactly. As, you know, and I enjoyed Tron a lot, but that the writing is just awful. I just, you know, maybe hopefully he brings on a couple different screenwriters.
Yeah. Tiberius?
I don't know. I really like Tom Cruise. So coupled with Joseph Kaczynski's ability to really bring a visual film, I'm excited about that. And I agree. Let's just hope that he gets a script in there that is good, better yet, great. And, you know, We see something really enjoyable. That's all I'm hoping for.
Totally. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Mm. Yeah. I like Tom Cruise in sci-fi. I definitely dig that.
I do too. He's Minority Report.
Amazing.
War of the Worlds. He was really good in that.
First half.
Great.
War of the Worlds is great. I mean, his performance is great through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does really well with, I think, there's certain actors that just, like, they are able to do well with effects and the green screen and still be able to give a great performance.
Yeah.
And he's one of the few.
Yeah, absolutely. And handle, like, a huge scale, too, like a really big movie, kind of hold the entire movie on their shoulders and not really feel the pressure of that. And I think you're right. I think he handles that really well.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, this is going to be, we're going to see if Kaczynski is, you know, where he sits on in the future of, you know, visual filmmakers. Does he have the chops to be able to also bring, you know, a really large, you know, big story to the screen? Because, you know, with Tron, he wasn't, you know, he was involved, but he was brought on, you know.
Yeah.
And with this, it's his baby. So
that's a good point.
I think it's going to probably be better story-wise than Tron for sure. And I think visually it's going to be stuff that he's probably been thinking about. I mean, this is like a band's first album. It's going to be everything he's been saving up visually, and it's going to be something like we've never seen before.
It could go either way, though, because look at Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch. That was his first original film that he put everything he had into it. You know, this was his baby. And as fun as it was pretty freaking, awful. So, I mean, even with Kaczynski, it could go either way. It could be great, or it could be end up being a complete disaster.
Yeah.
Something... It will look great. It will look great, like Sucker Punch looked great. But, will that story be completely solid and awesome and, will it just be one of those visual?
I think he shows a lot of efficiency as a director. I mean, people love Tron and they love the early part of it, but think of how much happened in the first 20 minutes. They got from him being outside of the world of Tron to him already being in Disc Wars in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a director who could bring you all the way through to be able to make you believe that you are able to jump from him, as a kid all the way to Disc Wars in about 20 minutes.
I would say whoever directed Honey, I Shrunk the Kids pulled off something similar.
Yeah. But yeah, I think with if you have a director who has a lot of story he wants to tell and can do it visually, I think you could have a film that's, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, but just feel amazingly epic if he's able to have more control of the story.
Tiberius, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay. I think something that we should mention, and I just realized this, I don't know why I didn't say it before, is that William Monahan is the one who wrote the script, or at least co-wrote it, and he's the guy who wrote The Departed, and he's written Kingdom of Heaven and a couple other things. So, I mean, it's kind of like an A-list screenwriter attached to it already. And I think the script is already done, if I'm not mistaken.
That's a good point.
They're the ones who are, I mean, that's what Kaczynski has been doing, is shopping this particular script around. It's not just a pitch anymore. I think the script is finished at this point. So I think we can kind of rest a little bit easier knowing that William Monahan is behind this. So, we'll just have to see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah. Tom Cruise needs a good movie.
Yeah.
He does. Yeah. Because what was the last one he did? Night and Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bomb.
That was fun. What are you talking about?
I had fun watching it.
I had
it,
fun.
Actually, but...
really? I would never put that on a list of any kind.
No.
But I thoroughly enjoyed the film.
Okay.
All right, guys. What was it before that? Tropic Thunder?
Yeah, the small role in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Which they're going to make, it was pretty small, but they're going to make a movie out of it, so...
Possibly. Yeah. At this point, I don't feel like he needs that film anymore to, help reinvigorate his image.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
True.
Yeah, but I think he's the kind of person that likes to have fun, and, that's what I like about him. I mean, I don't know. He likes what he does.
He likes jumping off of things.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like jumping off of things? Shoot. Great. I got paid, $20 million a movie. I jump off of things, too. All right. So, speaking of Tom Cruise, he's also up for the role in RoboCop.
Where did this story come from? Because I did not... This is the first I'm hearing of this.
It came from Movie Hole.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds wrong. That sounds wrong.
Movie Hole.
Put that in your movie hole.
Put that in your movie hole. Yeah, it's rumored that Tom Cruise, Keanu Reeves, and Johnny Depp are all possibilities of being cast as the new RoboCop. It seems so extreme, though, that this is...
All three are wrong.
All three are completely wrong, and there are three huge... actors that maybe the studio is just hoping to get maybe this just seems like one of those kind of ridiculous rumors.
Yeah.
To throw out there, but
yeah, it's funny because I just tweeted this afternoon. I was like, "Hey, remember when Eddie Murphy was up for the role in The Riddler and The Dark Knight Rises? That was funny." And this kind of sounds a little bit like that, you know, like later, a couple years from now, we're gonna be like, "Hey, remember when Johnny Depp was in talks for RoboCop?"
RoboCop Legacy.
I really think they need to go with a younger actor. I don't know.
Chris Evans.
No, I say Chris Sam Pine. Worthington.
Chris Pine.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
I don't know. I think Sam Worthington would be interesting.
Yeah, do you think the movie...
He's robotic enough. Ba-doom-bach.
Yeah. Do you think RoboCop will just be called RoboCop, or do you think it'll get, like, the RoboCop Begins?
I think it's RoboCop Legacy, Rises.
RoboCop Rises.
RoboCop Model 1.
RoboCop Rebooted.
Ooh, nice.
They should just tell it how it is, RoboCop the Remake.
Yeah, might as well. Just put it all out.
They should do that with every remake. The Crow, the Remake.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, guys. Moving on. Did you guys watch that live stream Weta Planet of the Apes thing today?
Yeah.
Such Fox put on. That was pretty cool. What'd you guys think?
I missed it. Tell me about it.
Oh, you missed it?
Yeah.
You missed out, my friend.
It was pretty cool. It felt kind of like an intimate, like, Comic-Con panel.
It did.
I think it would have been cool if they had fielded more questions and really made it feel like it was really live. Because, honestly, they could have taped it, and I wouldn't have known the difference.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because they said it was a live stream, and I thought people would be able to, like, interact, and, like, that's what they made it seem like. People would be able to ask questions that they answer, but it was kind of just moderator and, who was there? I can't remember.
Director.
Andy Serkis and one director of VFX and... some assistant, someone else that worked on VFX.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, the concept art was pretty cool. The footage they showed was pretty cool.
It's going to be way better than the what was it? Is it the third or fourth film that this story covers?
The 1960s versions?
Yeah. It's amazing. Planet of the Apes, like, those movies kept making more money than the previous movie, and they kept cutting the budget in half, like, practically every single time, and then the movie would make even more money than the previous one. So it was like, what the hell were they thinking? And they tried to kill the franchise, yet it kept going and it kept making money. So they're like, okay, well, cut it in half and maybe we can kill it this time. But I guess the writers just, you know.
If they wanted to kill the franchise, they just had to stop making them.
Well, the money's too tempting, I'm sure, but.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it looked great. I mean,
I thought it was makeup. The little clip that we had on the site, and I was like, oh, that's really good makeup. And then when they started talking about it as an effect, I was like, oh. It looks really, really great.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
So the movie is definitely going to look great. The apes are going to look freaking real. You know, it's got a bunch of great actors in it. I'm just hoping that it could pull together a good story.
Now, is this in 3D?
Not that I know of. I haven't heard anything.
No, I don't think it is.
No.
Is this? Did they show any actual finished footage from the film, or was it all just kind of concept stuff?
They showed a sneak preview of the trailer that's being released tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And then they showed some effects breakdowns of probably what is a live render, then a wireframe, and then a finished one.
Okay.
But even then, the finished one, it was still pretty great, but you know there's going to be improving that quite a bit. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what the trailer brings tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that, but it seems like everything that they've been showing us so far is going to be the end of the movie. Because it's titled Rise of the Apes, so the apes obviously rise up and take over. And that's the footage they're showing, is the apes rising up. And
I think they lengthen the title, actually. I think it's Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Which is like a kind of a ridiculous title.
I get why they did it, but it's dumb. Have some faith in the audience.
Yeah. There, I mean, that kind of that look, that ape look, is pretty iconic. You know, people are instantly going to recognize that and kind of associate that with the Planet of the Apes franchise without having the words Planet of the Apes in the title. Like, that's not really necessary at this point.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll see what the trailer brings us tomorrow, so keep a lookout for that. We'll post it as soon as it's ready to go, once it's released. So, other than that, what movies we got coming out this weekend to go see?
Scream 4, with the 4 in the middle of the word.
Right on. You saw that, didn't you?
I did, yeah. We'll talk about it next week.
All right. Well, just a quick...
Just
give me something quick.
I have not seen Scream 2 or Scream 3, so... That may or may not invalidate my opinion to you, but I look at it as I didn't bring the baggage of those movies in, and I can kind of judge this one as a standalone film. I was not a big fan, so we'll talk about it.
All right. Sounds good. And Rio is coming out.
Yes.
I'm definitely going to see Scream 4.
I'm all about Rio. I don't know about you guys, but I am so interested in seeing this.
Well, it's doing very well internationally.
This blue bird. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually is.
Wow.
It's like those Ice Age movies. It's from the same people who make the Ice Age movies. So
I was just joking. I'm not going to go see this movie.
Really? This seems exact. This seems classic Venkman.
It does, doesn't it?
You love birds, you love blue things, you love Brazil.
Like, I do.
And Jesse Eisenberg and Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. Like in your wheelhouse, man.
I go to Brazil with Anne Hathaway and Jesse Eisenberg every weekend. That's my thing. So.
You don't think you're going to take the kids to see this one, Venkman?
They're not interested in seeing it.
Oh, okay.
I showed them the trailer, they're just like, eh, they're over birds.
Interesting. Birds are so last year, apparently.
Birds, I don't even know if this year. Was there any... just
the Angry Birds were.
Ooh, yeah.
Angry Birds, yeah. That movie's gonna come someday.
Yep.
So yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go see Scream 4. I'm a big fan of the franchise, so I'm excited for it.
Yep.
We'll see how this goes, because I've seen all the Scream movies, but I can only really remember the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right.
I'm clearly not as big a fan.
Obviously, I watch them twice a week.
Wow.
Whole trilogy. Yes. Wow was right.
In Spanish, it makes it even more fantastic.
And three times on Sunday.
Three times on Sunday. Okay. Stop it. Ben, you want to plug your awesome podcast?
Oh, thank you, sir. Yeah, the Not Just New Movies podcast. You can find that in iTunes. You can also listen to it from geektyrant.com. So go to that site, check out a bunch of stuff that we're doing there. It's a great site, cool stuff. If you're listening to the Geek Tyrant podcast, you probably know about it. And you can find all the back episodes at notjustnewmovies.com.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun recording it last week. So
yeah, we had Tiberius on as our guest. We talked about what was the freaking movie? Oh, The Thing, John Carpenter's film. Yeah. So yeah, good stuff there.
Cool, Tiberius.
Oh yeah, I'm the host of the Napier's Newscast. You can follow us on Twitter at Napier's Newscast or visit napiersnews.com. And we are also available on iTunes.
Awesome. Other than that, folks, go to geektyrant.me and buy a Geek Tyrant t-shirt and help us keep the site going strong. We've got some other stuff too, like glasses and 3D glasses. And
yeah, now that Mazer's name tag on the site is actually in 3D, you're going to need those 3D glasses to be able to
yeah, see. That's a good point.
I think it's a first of a kind. I'm trying to set the trend here.
It is.
Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave us some feedback. Let us know what we can do better, if anything. Give us some tips, hints, criticisms, stuff like that. We're all for that stuff. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/geektyrant and subscribe to us on our new YouTube page at youtube.com/geektyrant. There really isn't a lot there right now, but you're going to want to subscribe because we got a lot of stuff coming soon. So definitely do that. Other than that, does anybody have anything else they want to say?
If you've been following, if you follow Geek Tyrant on Twitter, you'll see that all the authors and all the writers of Geek Tyrant are being attributed for everything that they write on the site. So in case you want to find out more about the writers who write for Geek Tyrant, check out their Twitter accounts.
Nice.
Awesome. I guess we'll end on that now. Good night, everybody.